He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys.
It is indeed, and I would like to start out with a range anxiety vision, not actually done, that I have thought about since I have been doing a lot of driving over this last weekend, and here it goes. Jay, get ready. I was in Rhode Island this weekend, and the distance between my home address and this address where I was staying was 177 miles. I was using a fossil-fueled car with a 15-gallon gas tank that averages 25 miles a gallon or better. And I also went to see the Volkswagen ID.4, which is now on dealer lots in the form of a first edition, which is an upgraded version of the base edition, which will come in a little later after they sell the first editions out. And it's a very nice-looking vehicle. I did not drive it because I got there just as the dealership was closing. And so I don't have any first-hand experience as to how it drives. Car and Driver has tested it, and there's an article about it. The estimated, and the first editions, I guess, are two-wheel drive, I think. I don't know if it was an all-wheel drive or two-wheel drive, but the Car and Drive article was suggesting that the first edition ID.4 is a rear-wheel drive-only vehicle. But the point of it is the VW's estimate of range is up to 250 miles per charge, and that's with the rear-wheel drive model only, I believe, at the moment. The point being, I drove not from straight destination location over the weekend to back home over the weekend, and the mileage on my fossil fuel vehicle, which happens to be a Jeep Cherokee, at the end of the drive was 260 miles. That was without any long-term stops, which could have allowed me to recharge an electric vehicle having a range of 250 miles or less. And there are quite a few of those on the road at the moment, and they seem to be the ones that you're going to see in dealerships. The Chevy Bolt is an example. The Hyundai Kona is another example. Going forward, for electric vehicles in the $45,000 or less range, some with before incentive or tax credits that you'll be able to get. Had I been in an electric vehicle such as the ID.4 or the Chevy Bolt, I might not have been able to make a few side trips off the main highway between weekend location and home without having to have figured out a way to charge the battery for probably a minimum of maybe 20 minutes or 30 minutes or less if it was a level 2 charger. But where I went off the highway, straight line, took me 25 miles down to a coastal location, which means I had to come back 25 miles to the highway to return to my destination, which is 50 miles on top of the, 50 miles on top of the 177 mile straight line distance. Before we got home, we also decided to go pick up some fast food to take home for dinner. And the place we decided to get it at happened to be an additional total 20 miles off of the main distance between weekend and home destinations. that brings it up to, I haven't done the math, so I'm doing this cold, over the distance of a VWI D4 or a Chevy Bolt, and none of the off-route destinations in this case had charging stations at or nearby that we could have done any charging had we needed to do so. The final point is basically, do you want to own an electric car if that's the only car you can do? And if you happen to have two destinations that are, you know, in that range apart, which is easily reached between on a charge of the cars I've noted in this show, without doing any sideline driving. And Jay, you and I have talked about this. There are charging stations that are popping up all over. Tesla's got a number of conveniently located ones, and others will soon follow. The other thing about the destination place I had is it was 20 miles away from the nearest gas station for a fossil fuel vehicle, but the fossil fuel vehicle had a fill-up range of 415 miles on its range meter after I filled it up, and I still haven't filled it up, and I've come an additional 65 miles to where I am now, and the range remaining in the tank is 124 miles, which will get me to a gas station before I need to refuel easily, because I have a gas station within a minute of the broadcast point.
So you had range anxiety is what you're trying to say.
Well, okay, so here's the theory. As we go towards electric vehicles, which is what we're doing, and unless, it's my opinion, that unless we have range, minimum range ranges closer to 300 miles per charge as opposed to the two, let's say the 225 to 250 range, anybody who has a vacation place like going from New York to the Cape or something like that, and or might want to do shopping en route, and or might not find an easily locatable charging point in the middle of the trip, I don't know where we're going to go with that in the public.
Okay, so let me drink the Kool-Aid just a little bit
more. Drink the Kool-Aid a little bit more,
I think Tesla still has a lead in the electric market. I think the European manufacturers are a little short on range, and that's been discussed at length. And yes, 250 is seems to be what the Europeans are coming out with, whether it's Volkswagen with the ID4, Audi, even Porsche with the Taycan. Those are cars that are getting 250, 260, whereas Tesla is now pushing 300 to 400 in a Model S. So, yeah, it's a little bit short. But keep in mind those ranges are numbers that are changing constantly. And, you know, by next year, Tesla will have a 500-mile range car.
Okay, let me interrupt you a little bit. I don't want to be able to say everybody can afford a
Tesla.
And
at the same time, you're going to see more and more charging stations. Also, when you have one of those electric cars, whether it's a Tesla or Volkswagen, those cars have onboard apps that tell you really where to go to get a charge once you plan your route. So I think you're making a lot of about not so much, especially when you're talking about driving 200 miles. I don't think it's a huge deal, and it won't be in the future.
Well,
and again, you said it very rightfully. If you have several cars, a lot of families have two cars. Well, if you're going to go on a long trip, keep taking your ICE car, and that will solve that.
The other thing is for those people who have the income to have vacation destinations and have large families so they can afford the current crop of vehicles that can handle vacation loads, meaning two to four children, the luggage to go with you, and the capacity to have a roof rack, all of which reduces the miles per gallon capability of the fossil fuel vehicles. And you're even seeing electric vehicles. Even Teslas, I've seen with a roof rack, and electric cars are going to have roof racks, all of which are going to challenge the 300 to 500-mile range, which you're espousing about Tesla. Also, I think that the majority of the people aren't going to be able to afford the ranges that Tesla are going to achieve ahead of probably a lot of the competition. And I have in front of me a March 2021 edition of Bedford and New Canaan magazine in which the Audi e-tron GT and the BMW iX SAV instead of SUV vehicles are shown, and with very brief articles about them. Both are stunning-looking vehicles, stylings, alternatives to Tesla, and which shows you what the European manufacturers are going to be coming out with to try to compete with Tesla. The very short article on the Audi e-tron, not the GT RSE, but the GT with the base battery, has a driving range estimated of 238 miles on a charge. Recharging is easy with 60 miles of range gained in only 5 minutes via DC fast charging, which will may not be everywhere, and going from a 5% to 80% charge in only 20 minutes. That's pretty good, but you only can go 238 miles. And I don't know whether that is based on an empty vehicle, not running accessories, or not. Do you know anything about how these mileage ratings are being done, Jay? Before you go on that, I want to go to the BMW iX4, which unfortunately the writer was not able to give either a manufacturer estimate or did not state it, or any information on it giving its range between charges, but mentioned in the article that saying even if you're taking a long road trip, stopping every 200 miles to eat and stretch your legs, it'll give you a chance to top up your battery. So,
yeah, and just to explain a little bit, I think it's the iX4, which is BMW's next electric vehicle, following the i3 that came out in 2013, I believe, that had a very short range, little compact car.
Right.
The iX4 is the next one in line, and it actually is a sedan, I believe, from looking at the pictures, and it looks pretty similar to a BMW 3 or 5 series, and size-wise, probably somewhere in between the two.
The vehicle I'm looking at is not what you're discussing. The vehicle I'm looking at looks like any, from the outside, it's got the new grille, but it is definitely an SUV shape with a round, squared rear, four doors and the like. So it doesn't matter about whether it's the iX4 or the iX5, it's just the one that was in this article. But we still have the situation where we've got the luxury car makers are coming in with introductory models that are not achieving, at least with their base battery packs, 300 miles or better. And, you know, again, I don't want to quibble about the expensive ones versus the cheaper ones, but to try to get the American public into electric cars, it's roaring at us, we all agree, and we're going to be all electric in GM's idea of it, except maybe for trucks and maybe the suburban SUVs or suburban-sized vehicles by 2030. So, is it going to change the public's ability to travel if they go electric? And are they still going to want fossil fuel vehicles? That's the question I'm really sort of talking around as I bring this little thing, my little diatribe about this, to an end.
I think that also energy is going to be a real interesting, you know, 20 years from now, even we have no idea of what the energy situation is going to be. So I think that that's also going to be a factor.
Well, you know, some of these electric cars or hybrid cars, and I'm getting to hybrid here, hybrid cars are going to have solar sunroofs in them. Hyundai, with the new Sonata hybrid, is going to have an unopenable sunroof, but where the sunroof used to be, it's going to be solar panels on top, which will not power the car fully just to use it, but it will recharge the battery as the car is parked, as you are eating if there is not a charging station.
Well, right. You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say put your money on Elon Musk. Now, Jay, do you have? Are there additional Anything you want to add, or did you want to change subject? Or
we can move on. I think Elon Musk still has a good, is still in a good place here. By the way, we can look forward to that pickup truck, whether it will be redesigned, the Cybertruck. Will it come out in its original form? That was a kind of a brick in the face. Or is it going to be a more traditional-looking truck? I don't know. But Tesla just ordered the biggest casting press, manufacturing casting press in the world. And so the truck is scheduled for production at the end of this year to hit, I was going to say showroom, but they ship them directly to you pretty much sometime in 2022.
Rumor has
that's I think, it for electric vehicles. I found it interesting to see that Ford is rolling out with a new real replacement for the Ford Ranger, the original Ford Ranger pickup truck, and it makes a lot of sense. They're building a pickup truck on the Bronco Sport platform that is actually being built in Mexico. So it's a unibody, small truck, smaller than the current Ranger, and it is powered by the base engine will be a 1.5-liter, three-cylinder turbo engine.
Well, and I'm glad to cover it again, because I covered it last week.
It's used quite a bit in Europe where engines are smaller. Actually, my mother has a Ford Focus on the sideline with a 1-liter three-cylinder turbo engine, and you know, cruising on German autobahns, I can keep up at 100 and 110 miles an hour without a problem. So those little engines are pretty efficient and adequate in power. And that truck will be a front-drive or all-wheel drive truck. So we can look forward to that in 2022. And I think that, you know, I'm not a big truck fan, but I think there is a market for that. So that's
that. I think there's a market for it, too. It's going to remind me of the old Ford Courier size pickup trucks that Ford had built by Mazda back in the last century. And they were very nice. I had two of them before I lost my pickup truck desires. And they were wonderful trucks. They were narrower bodied than the mid-sized pickup trucks that are going now, and certainly much smaller, or smaller than those that are called mid-sized right now. And we don't even need to compare it or contrast it to the full-size pickup trucks. But they will be very useful. I sort of give the Jeep pickup truck a little bit of the same status as maybe the Ford, which is called the Maverick, incidentally, as covered last week. But all the pickup trucks are going to sell because they're going to be the Maverick is going to start it, according to the article I read it, $999, under $20,000 for the baseline, which may have crank up windows. I don't know, but it'll be a useful pickup truck for those that don't need the midsize or large pickup trucks. Presumably getting a little better mileage, but that's going to be a great truck. And I saw the pictures. I think
I just
as well.
I would like to go back to Tesla for 1 second. Jay, do you or Robin, do you know anything about there are rumors around the S, the Model S and the Model X around palladium. Do you have any idea?
Around what?
Palladium.
Palladium?
Yep.
I have no idea. Jay might know more about that.
No. What exactly?
Basically, Tesla is increasing its prices for Model S and X on the EU market for around $30,000, and it sparks rumors on a secret project refresh. And that was from the Tech Times.
Well,
it was around palladium.
The S and X is not a secret project. They've actually halted production, and I think the updated versions should be coming out shortly. I don't know what the price points are going to be, so I don't know. I really don't have fresh info on that. No, okay. I know that the range is going to increase, power is going to increase. And Tesla's going to come out again with a super powerful S-Class later this year. They have a version of that that's already available But the crazy stupid one with 1,100 horsepower will be available sometime next year.
All right, because there's something about palladium in, I mean, there's a, potentially that is the name of the car, but they are using that in catalytic converters, and apparently it's, quote, pretty amazing, unquote.
Well, catalytic converters in electric cars are not needed, so I don't know what the palladium's going
to
be.
I think Tesla is going to keep wanting to be have a really upscale model with mainstream manufacturers and new manufacturers like Lucid with the Air coming out with really high-end electric cars. Tesla is not going to want to abandon that niche of the market. That's, my opinion. The 35,000, I think they're broadening the range. They're going to go more upscale, and they're also going to go more, I was going to say downscale, but down to earth with the $25,000 Tesla, which, is probably going to first show up in China. But, and again, that's why I keep drinking the Kool-Aid for now anyway, and hoping all the other manufacturers play catch-up. Even though some of the manufacturers have are nowhere in the electrification of their different car lines. And Stellantis is one of them, because neither Peugeot nor Fiat nor Chrysler here in America is anywhere near producing real electric cars in the foreseeable future.
And to that end, Toyota is sort of avoiding it as well, I think, and they basically hybridized all their vehicle lines, or certainly 80% of their vehicle lines are all but hybridized, which means both gasoline and battery power, which are giving some of those lines. RAV4 has been hybridized for about 4 years now and is becoming much and much more popular version of that vehicle. They've hybridized the Venza, and that apparently gets really great gas mileage between the two powertrains that are there. And they're sticking to their guns that hybrid is going to be the more less anxiety range situation, desirability vehicles for at least another 10 years. They may be on the outs. We're going to see between the full electrification of vehicles with no gasoline backups and those who decide to keep hybrid versions in their lineups. But I think the prices have got to come on electric cars too, because while the government may increase, and Jay's been big on this, the federal subsidies and some states also state subsidies for encouraging the purchase of an electric car. At some point, they're going to sell out their, if the government doesn't extend it to an unlimited number of vehicles, because we know Tesla's no longer, available with subsidies or tax credits.
Well, there's a good chance, we've talked about this, those tax credits are very likely coming back, and in the amount of $7,000 for GM and Tesla, up to a production of 600,000.
Well, I think
vehicles.
At some point they're going to have to be able to sell the cars without
tax credits. Yeah, Tesla's doing it right now.
I understand that.
On an ending note, I guess.
Yes, in 30 seconds, please.
It's spring, so two things. Clean your cars, not just go through the car wash, but the underbody needs to be cleaned if you want that car to last in time. Get on your hands and knees at the local car wash, get the high-pressure guns, and just blast the undercarriage of the cars. And now's a good time to do it. And keep in mind that spring is around the corner, and bicycles are back on the road, so keep your eyes peeled.
He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.